Want to hook us? Oh, good.
Okay, you're on.
All right. Well, good afternoon, everyone. This is Julie Fedorchak with the Public Service Commission. We are back on the 12th floor of the Capitol for the admin portion of our regularly scheduled commission meeting. We have one item on consent. I move passage of that item.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Those opposed? Motion is approved.
Want to comment on that? It's great to have Jerry taking over that new position at PUD. She's been doing a great job for the last week already, and it's fun to have somebody from within who already knows so much about what we're doing and how to get things done over there. So that's been a nice change here.
If I could just make a note to that, Commissioner Fedorchak, it is ceremonial for new employees to bring donuts. So the fact
true.
That she is an existing employee here doesn't mean that she's off the fact of...
I happen to know Jerry's listening, too, because she's waiting for us to come up with a date for that Skokomish pipeline to plug in. Jerry Bryan said that, not me.
Well, that's right. If it's a new employee, it doesn't matter they were here.
Donuts or dilly bars, whatever she chooses. Okay. Next on the agenda is the discussion matters with commission. The first item is with Brian Kulk's name on it, MDU consumer complaint.
Alrighty then. A while back, Stacy brought up one of the concerns. We had a complaint that came in. It was a little bit unique that the individual had lost their services. There was some damage that took place, and Stacy met with the company. I met with Stacy and the company and asked the company to submit a letter basically lining out a little bit more detail what happened. And the I guess where I'm kind of at right now is that I think MDU did about as good a job as they could have with their notifying this individual. But I do share some concerns that MDU perhaps needs some improvements on how they notify going forward, with given all the ability of texting and emailing and phone calls. I think that's part of the discussion. Maybe, Stacy, what did I miss on this part of it?
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys had a chance to read through all of the information, but in this instance, the homeowner was gone out of town, out of state, I believe, and the notifications that MDU sent out were via Facebook and a posting to their website. So, of course, this gentleman did not know that there was an outage until he returned home and he had a water radiator heater system in his house that had frozen and burst and caused damages. And so that kind of was the focus of our discussion, is, you know, what is a good method of notifying people in the event of outages, and, you know, would this be considered that they did everything that they could to notify him, and is there improvements that can be made to those systems?
Well, and quite frankly, the fact that they didn't try to make a phone call did bother me a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. I mean, clearly posting on a website is not acceptable. How would you know to check the website?
Yeah.
I mean, Yeah, this is definitely an area where we need to visit with them, because, you know, if you're a customer who's out of town or out of state, and it's really hard to know how you can prepare for something like this if there's no alert.
And that's what, Julie, when I met with the company as well, I mean, there's kind of separate issues. One is he has to get compensated for his loss, and we can't ever do that. That's not, but he can do other things with MDU. But there's also the notification, and I agree with you that their system is not what I thought it was. When Stacy and I got into it, if you tie into like the Xcel Energy system, they've got a pretty robust system of notifying people. They got their different apps on the phone. They got text, reverse text messages. They got emails. And MDU has not developed that capability yet. Now, so when we met with, I think it was Tammy, and I can't remember the other fellow's name, we asked them that to be the focus of the next PI meeting, if not earlier, about what they're going to do to improve their notification system.
So this is what I'm curious about on this letter. Montana Dakota personnel determined that because service was not interrupted to all of the 1,090 meters served from this border station, that the best means of alerting customers that were affected would be to place an announcement on the company's website and posting a message on the company's Facebook account. Okay, so what if all 1,090 meters would have been? How would they have alerted them then? Do we know that?
They had talked about, I believe, going door to door. Is that correct, Commissioner?
Yeah, that's what
that
I remember.
They usually go door to door, but in this case, because they knew that it wasn't everybody, I don't think that they did that. They did mention that they do have a call system that they can use, but it seemed like it would take them time to be able to use it, if I remember our conversation. It takes them some time to set up those calls to go out. It wasn't a real quick thing that they could do.
But then, if I'm understanding this case right, then they did know who exactly needed to be contacted because they...
In the beginning, I don't think they did. I think they were kind of unsure of which, because it all depended on the certain meters that they had or... Yeah, so...
So how long between... I mean, because eventually 206 customers required service restoration. That must have happened fairly quickly, including Mr. Harmon's residence because of the failed line heater in the board. So when they got to a residence, so they did go door-to-door to those people who did not...
They would have had to relight, I believe, yeah. So they would have been...
So then the issue is if you get to a house that nobody is at, what's the policy?
Well, that was the larger discussion because we got to the same place you're at right now. And I think that's my concern is their system of notification. There didn't seem to be a good methodology of how they walked through this, or it wasn't explained in that meeting that I was in.
In this case, his system would not have been restored until he got home, which was when he discovered the damages. So
they probably somebody knew that house hadn't been restored. Whoever the service person was that got there and wasn't able to meet anybody.
I'm not sure if there would have still been uncertainty as to whether he was actually out until he got home or, yeah. It sounded like they weren't able to know exactly which homes were affected until they could physically be there or have the homeowner report it. So they might not have actually known that he was out.
Mm-hmm.
It exposed a lot of holes to what I thought their visibility was of the systems. And, the decision point is probably what do we want to do? Do we want to schedule something and have them come in ahead of a PI meeting, or do we want to make that the topic? Because I told Tammy, I said, for me, I think you need to upgrade your system. You get it to where it needs to be and where it needs to be going. And how you're going to do that, I understand it may cost some money, and that's why we have rate cases. But this particular system, it just – I don't think they were negligent. I'm not that far. So having a hearing to fine them $1,000 or something,
right?
I'm not there.
Don't have the technology in place.
They don't have the technology in place, and that's a separate issue. Because even if we did fine them $1,000, it doesn't make him whole. And he's filed claims with the insurance, and they're working that in a different venue. Oh.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I sure wouldn't mind sitting down and having a meeting on this subject. I don't know what the exact – in my mind, I don't have an end goal either. You know, because if they had the technology to, say, place a call, well, if the person's not home, you're not going to get the call.
Right.
I don't think we want to go to the point where we force all customers to have cell phones and carry them with them and give their numbers out. You know, so and how do you reach somebody that's not around? One thing, though, that I would see that companies could do at literally no cost, it would just include messages from time to time, is making sure people understand the amount of damage that can occur from these kinds of things. And, you know, there are security companies that sell equipment that, you know, you work through within your own lifestyle so that you get notified the way you want to be notified if your house is colder than it ought to be or things like that, where people can proactively take it upon themselves to make sure of this. But it would be interesting to sit down with some of these utility companies and see what the best systems available are and then see if what we should do about it.
I think in my experience, a lot of companies just give you the option. You know, like once a year you'll get something that says, you know, in an event of an emergency, you know, how would you like to be contacted? And then if you do have a cell phone that you want to be contacted on, you provide it. If you don't, then that's your choice. And then once again, if
and that's your responsibility, then
right? So then at least they have a record saying this is how you chose to be contacted, and if it didn't work, it didn't work. But a lot of people do have cell phones, and I mean, I get text alerts from my chiropractor and everybody, you know. So to me, something like that would be great if it's possible, but just
it is
some
possible.
Other options.
Yeah, I think the opt-in approach would be, you know, what seems reasonable.
Yeah, then people aren't getting phone calls that they didn't want. So if they don't want to be contacted on their cell phone, then they can choose not to be. That's their choice type thing. But I think
it is, you know, the homeowner has responsibilities too, though. I mean, if the power goes out and the pipes break, so that's where I didn't want to go too far. But I was taken back a little bit about how their system compares to some of the other systems of notification.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I mean, that's. They wanted to notify, it seems like, but just having the option be the website and Facebook as, like, the only options is just, they should have some other options for getting a hold of people.
Do you want to do a PI meeting or a special meeting?
I think we haven't had one with them for a while, have we? Are we coming up?
Karen, have we had one with you guys?
You can do that. Whatever you want to do. Because we haven't had one for a while.
Okay. That seems like a good topic for that.
Should we schedule that today?
We
should. Are you able to schedule that today, Karen? Or?
Probably not.
Oh, okay.
Okay, we could just throw out some dates, too.
Okay.
As far as my correspondence back to Mr. Marmon, I had sent him an initial letter back, you know, explaining that we're looking into it and everything, but I think I could just do a final follow-up, and he was... In the first one, of course, concerned about the compensation, which I think, you know, I can reiterate back to the tariff language that they're not responsible. But I could outline just the discussions that we're having and that that we did have some concerns about the communication process used and that we're discussing that. And just so that he knows that we're talking about that and hopefully something will come out of it. Does that sound...
It sounds reasonable.
Well, and I don't, you know, we might consider also mentioning some of what Randy said about the different communication tools that exist out there for homeowners. I mean, we have one at our farm where we're not there, you know, does exactly what you said. It monitors the temperature, so if it goes below a certain, we get a call. Mm-hmm. And that's to safeguard against these types of, you know, problems. So I don't know if you...
Can you mention it? I don't know how much something like that costs. It's not because sometimes it's hard to mention things to people that they can't afford. But
yeah,
Having a neighbor check on your house
is a lot cheaper than what the damage is.
Having a neighbor check on your house is I know when I go, I have somebody that comes in the middle of the winter. So there are some responsibilities that the homeowner can think about too.
In the middle of a 3-day blizzard, when it's likely to happen. The neighbor probably isn't going to get there either.
Yeah, I think this was inside. It was in city. It was in Stanley, so it wasn't out in the country.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Sounds good, Stacy. Thank you. All right. We had set this up, and it's still, I don't know that we're going to be able to finish this up, but we had set up this time to talk over, and you have a draft in your folder of the revised certification document. Our goal was to finish this up today, but it kind of was contingent on legal taking a look and providing feedback. No one from legal is in the office, and so I don't know that we need to spend a lot of time talking about it. You guys can take a look at this revised version. What I did on this was take all of the final version that Pat put together, which reflected all of our changes, and then I just reorganized it under headings. The first section is just the general overall overarching measures. Then it goes into all the construction-related measures, restoration and maintenance-related measures, communication with landowners in the PSC, and then the route adjustments. So it just basically, rather than having them kind of spread out and kind of haphazardly flowing, this attempts to have them flow in a more orderly manner. So I think we could take this, give it to legal, have them get their, offer their input, and then either finalize it or have another meeting at that point.
And if we have any changes, just give it back to Pat or Victor?
Sure.
Okay.
Does that work for you guys, Pat?
Well, if you would.
Run it back to Pat.
And keep
You've been the keeper.
The keeper, the holder of the document.
And I'll send you the electronic copy. Oh, no, you've got it. I included you on the email, so you've got it. Okay. So
is 10 some kind of a significant change, or is that just yellow?
I don't know why I didn't change the highlighting on Pat. So I just took out the highlighting on the route adjustment section because I didn't think we needed that.
The pipeline versus transmission power line items, so the ones that are highlighted, you have to, you know, the highlighting should stay in, basically.
I noticed some highlighting was removed and some was left in. So and the purpose is to if you're preparing the document, you see the highlighting, it's to alert you that something needs to be done there. And so
okay, so the only highlighting I took out was on the route adjustments before during construction. So maybe you need to go back because that whole big long section was highlighted.
That's right.
So if you want to add that back in for reasons for you guys because it triggers your
I noticed one
attention.
Other.
Oh, well. Did I accidentally do one other one? Sorry.
Number 32.
Oh, okay. Oh, I think I just, accidentally pulled the highlighter up beyond the route adjustment thing.
Well, actually, it is that whole section.
Yeah. Okay. So we'll, the goal here is to get this done so that you guys can start using it. That's the goal. So the longer we take to get this finished, the longer we're using the outdated versions. So,
one more question on this. Mm-hmm. Would there be benefits, since they're being categorized, to having some title for the first however many there are? And then in construction, starting with construction number one on up to 8 or something, and then restoration and maintenance number 1. The point being, you know, you're going to have a couple of these that are in or out, and also if the company asks for something a little bit different, then all the numbers from there on are always off from what we're used to. And you get back in the 30s and we're used to something being 31 and then it's not anymore. And
I can see some advantages to that. The only disadvantage, I think, is you always have to say, you know, number 4 under construction versus, you know, just the number. But I guess you guys probably are more familiar with the changes with the companies and working on that. So I would either accept it or defer to your judgment on whether that makes it easier to work with long term.
And I would defer too. I don't have a strong feeling about this, but it was just an idea that I had thought of.
So you can think about that.
May or may not be good.
Yeah, tech manuals oftentimes have just what you're saying. So you nuke one and you don't throw off the whole thing.
Yeah. You guys can see what you think about that. Okay. SPP seams update. My favorite.
I know that.
Love talking about seams.
Both you and my colleagues. So I just want to give you both a general update. The while we were at Mark last week, Jerry and Jack were out in discussion with FERC and Otter Tail and MDU about some of the potential costs that will be changing for transmission. And the you have to sign a disclosure agreement to get it all the way into the discussion. But in general terms, there's a significant amount of cost that's being debated now, but that could come to Otter Tail, could come to MDU. And so the next one of these is July 6th and 7th in D.C., so Jerry and I are going out for that one. But at some point in time, as we get a little more clarity, we should set up a meeting to prep you guys on what may be coming, because it's not insignificant, the costs that are talking right now.
Is this the stuff they sort of talked about in the north? Central North East area. We sat down with them and they kind of outlined a bunch of these potential seams issues. And
yeah, it's twofold.
It's complicated.
It's because there's part of it that it's not all SPP, because some of the Otter Tail had contracts that were expiring with Central Power and WAPA that no matter how it was happening, those contracts were expiring and there perhaps would be more costs coming. So they put that on top of the issue of now there's between SPP and MISO, there's some flows and costs that may be changing too. So it's a pancaking effect. And Otter Tail is in a tougher position than MDU. MDU's got more facilities that they'll get credit for than Otter Tail does. So MDU's looks like it might be close to washing out, if you will. So I just wanted to prep you both. I'm going back out there for that. And We've got a September 15th transmission meeting on the calendar that we've just held. We could talk about that more. But if you want, if either of you want to get more information, I just recommend sign that disclosure agreement, and Jack and Jerry can tell you everything. They can tell you everything that's going on.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you, Brian, for keeping those in front of us. Now, I wanted to add a couple items here. The first one, one called bill collection. We passed in special or in
consent
some items that Julie Prescott had worked on for the one call concepts, collecting bills for them. And we had talked about this a while back about, you know, at what level should we get engaged. Personally, I don't think it's a good use of Julie's time to be spent trying to collect bills for this company that are $60 and $40 and then having to, you know, write up these memos. And that's a lot of time. And I just think in the scheme of all the things we're responsible for, this does not meet the priority need. So I'd like to revisit what we talked about earlier, which was setting a threshold for what we would get involved in, and they wouldn't bother us for bill collecting on smaller amounts like these.
Since then, we've met with the One Call people, and inside the One Call board, they were going to push back the One Call concept and say, quit filing these nuisance things with the PSC. I shouldn't say nuisance, but they were going to try to set their own number of 250 or 500, so they're still deliberating that. They haven't come down on a number yet.
I think we should set our own then and not wait for them to keep deliberating.
An idea that I had come up with, because I had the same irritation with going through these, not that Julie hadn't done a good job on them,
right?
But that the fact that she needed to. And, you know, frankly, I was thinking back to my days at West River when we would go through unpaid bills. And all that stuff went through a bill collection agency before it came to the board. The staff, you know, made some efforts, you know, outside of their own efforts to collect before it got to the board level. And frankly, I think that's what One Call Concepts needs to do, run this stuff through a collection agency. If it's not worth going through a collection agency, then it's really not worth the taxpayers' time to do it here. And if they've run it through a collection agency, then many of them, where they're out of business or they then choose to settle up, will be taken care of, and we don't have to, and we can only deal with the rest of them.
And
so
Julie,
rather than a number,
Julie,
I think that might be the status that they have to do.
Yeah, I think that's a good plan, too. In talking with Julie, you can explain this yourself, Julie, but she shared that when she contacted One Call Concepts and said, oh, this company's closed, they said, oh, okay, we'll just write off then. So they had made apparently zero attempt to try to collect this on their own or to do any of the legwork on finding what the status of the company was. So I just think that we should, you know, the board may or may not decide to push back as long as we're continuing to do the work. I mean, they really don't have,
they're not losing anything. They're with us. They just haven't. I would say I said in the level will be the hard part, but maybe what we could do also is a letter back from us to them kind of defining what we just said now, that we feel that this is something you should go directly with the collection agency. This is not what we do. If it doesn't meet this level, we're not going to deal with it.
Yeah, I'm
just to encapsulate this.
And we talked a little bit about it yesterday, too, and I was initially thinking 250 or 500, but these guys said that it would take a really, really long time for it to reach that level, and even if we set it at 100, it would probably cut back significantly, almost eliminate all of the ones that we currently have filed.
Do we have any precedents, looking at Pat, because he's been here for a little bit longer, on saying, hey, we're not going to do this because of the cost amount? That's the one thing I'm a little bit still, yeah.
Well, as you were visiting, I was just thinking about how what the commission is doing is determining whether there's a violation of the One Call law. We're not trying to collect the bill for One Call. We're trying to determine then whether we should pursue a complaint. And so how much the commission can decide then at what level of nonpayment do we pursue a complaint against the company as a violation of the One Call law. That's the question.
It just, yeah, that to me is the one area that I'm just kind of wrapped around, because let's say there's only $20 worth of damage, but somebody's killed. But so our policy says it's in less than $100. I mean, the damage is loss of life. I get that. But it's a slippery slope to pick a dollar amount.
This isn't about a damage. This is about, this is.
But it could be.
It bills for doing the, providing the locate, what the call service.
Well, but back to Pat's point, it's a request for, is there a violation of the law? And in that investigation, we end up becoming the collection agency of these costs. So that's how it lays out.
Well, it's sort of like the damage thing. If there's damage to a pipeline, I mean, there's an analogy there. I think if there's a damage to a pipeline, we're not collecting the damage on the facility. We're not collecting that for the company. What we're doing is determining that there was a violation of the one call.
No, maybe
better. Well, but the violation in this case is that the utility didn't pay for the locate services.
Didn't participate in the one call system.
OCCI provided utility locate services for which compensation has not been received.
Yep.
So they provided the service, didn't get compensated for it. It isn't that the service isn't happening or that they aren't participating. It's that they're participating in it and not paying.
Well, maybe the letter could go back and say that.
Both of those are that way.
To say instead of that we won't prosecute it, say that, refine it better, that we will not be the collection agency for you. I mean, just.
Right.
Don't pick a dollar amount. Just say, we will not be here to collect. We'll determine whether there's a violation, but it is not our role to collect payments. Because they're trying to say the violation was non-payment, but that's not really a violation. Did they do it or not?
I don't think the commission has actually issued an order where they found that there's a violation there.
Right.
You'd have to interpret the law based on a staff complaint that there's a violation if you're not paying your bill.
Right. Maybe that's where we could say that at this point in time, the commission does not feel it is our role to be collecting payments for you. That's something you should do another venue. So we don't set a dollar amount. We just say, we're not going to do these.
I would be comfortable with that. And they can collect the bills for that service. The people who are using their service and not paying them, they can collect those bills on their own.
Is there anything specific in the law, I don't have it in front of me, that says that we're the collection agency on these? Or, I mean, this seems like a good solution to me, unless there's something written in there that makes us that.
Just like we're not the collection agency for damages to the facilities, we're not the collection agency for non-payment of this for the services provided.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's the beginning of the letter. The commission's role is not to become the collection services for non-payment of the one call. Our role is this.
But they filed it as – see, they didn't file it asking us to collect it.
Right.
They filed it asking us.
But that's where staff can have this guidance from us with the letter we send to them, that when they view this, they can say, well, I view this as a collection. Send it back.
They cite – do they – I guess to Julie, in the complaints that they file, do they cite the one call law that they think the companies have violated?
But even if they do, staff can determine that we don't feel that's appropriate interpretation of the law. It's not our role for collection agency, and just put it back.
That's the part we haven't done.
Yeah, but that's the part we haven't done, but we can do it based on what the three of us have said, that we don't see that as a role of us. And then we're not picking a dollar amount. We're just saying whether the dollar amount is, we don't do
it. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Whether it's 20 bucks or 2,000 bucks.
I'd like that even better.
Okay. I can work with Julie and Jack and Pat on that. That's all right.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else on that?
It's one more thought. Do you mind if I sign the letter as the portfolio holder so it's literally got a little more weight than the staff, or do we all three want to sign it?
I think I'm fine with you signing it.
It's just like I signed the pipeline damage prevention grant stuff.
Yep.
But it looked like Julie might have something that you wanted to tell us.
Oh, I just did a short summary. There's 24 of these that are outstanding right now.
Yeah.
What
are the highest level?
Actually, there's one that's $347, but the median amount is $46.
Okay. I think that's a good plan.
Even at $346, I think it's a good plan. They should.
Yeah.
But the least is $11.
Yeah. Okay. So the next item I wanted to mention is the Hess pipeline draft order. I just want to give you an update. Vic and Pat have been working pretty extensively on reformatting the format for our orders. So the Hess project was really the first one that they used to do this. And so it's taken a little bit longer, and Hess is anxious. So there's this two-part. Hess is eager to get, you know, a resolution on this. So I'm down in scheduling. I've added an item to schedule a special meeting to take up that order, hopefully next week. Secondly, Vic and I will talk with the attorneys this afternoon, and then as soon as we can get comfort level with ourselves with that, we'll send out the order to you guys so you have it to look at and examine any, you know, the new template as well and some of the new information that's being included. And we'll, I don't know when Jack and Alana are back. Does anybody know what their schedule is? Today. And when does Alana leave again? Not till the 20-something, next week. Okay, so she'll have some time, so we'll want to get their input on that as well and some of those changes. If we need another meeting on Friday or something to talk about it, if anybody has any issues, if you want a work session to talk through that, let me know, and we'll get one scheduled. Otherwise, we'll just move ahead and get it on the special meeting.
I understand that staff's desire to get this thing tweaked, but the order, there was no issues to me at the project. It's now it's just the cleaning up the right certificate. So now I'm eager to get a look and meet as soon as we can. I don't need a work session.
You might want, what I'm saying is, when you see the order and the new template and new information in it, you might want a work session. You may, maybe not, maybe. I just throw it out there that it's a possibility because it's significant changes.
Would we just be causing a bunch of extra trouble if we, since they're anxious to get started on this project, if we just switched back and did the old order for this one and got the process going and then start the new order on something else?
That would not save time at this point.
Okay.
It, so. It would probably take longer to do that. We'd kind of start over from scratch with the order.
So, all right, so take a look at the new one and then let me know if you want to sit down and talk through it with the attorneys. I mean, part of me thinks that we should almost plan a work session to do that very thing and the attorneys just to get everybody's input, because this is now going to be the template on our orders moving forward. And, you know, even if everybody gets together and says we have no problem with it, then I'd feel more comfortable knowing that we all looked at it and talked about it. But look at it first and let me know.
When do you expect it'll be out?
We'll try to get it to you, like, either this afternoon or tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow morning. Okay? All right. Anything else for discussion? All right.
And you're going to add this on scheduling?
The special meeting, yep. So we'll do the formal hearing on Sakakawea Pipeline Company project. Julie, you have some dates in August, I believe.
I do.
We're hearing in Stanley.
Yes. First available date would be August 14th.
That works for me. What were the other dates, just as a possible?
Then it starts the next week, the 17th, 18th, and 21st.
For me, this might be one that I have a challenge with, and I think you have to go with it. I could do my China trip August 6th to August 19th.
Well, if we did the 21st, you'd be back.
Yeah, but I don't want to hold you guys up if that's the...
I hate to see you miss out on the Whirl of Whip. The 21st is fine with me. Is this...
Does the company
I say that lightly. I'm not concerned about the Whirl of Whips.
Right.
But I just think that... I don't know if the company is pressing for... If 1 week makes a big difference to them, but...
They did say the first available was the response I got from Danny this morning.
Yeah.
So. the 14th would be the first available.
Yeah, well, not really, because Brian's not available then. Yeah. So I think the first available is the 21st.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go with the 21st.
And it's at Stanley.
9 a.m. in Stanley. Okay. Got that, Jerry? Mm. August 21st, 9 a.m. in Stanley. So.
City Hall.
City Hall. Okay.
Yeah, not to get too much into your knickers, but City Hall is pretty darn small. That they've got that big building in Stanley where we've done hearings before, and it's really nice. The where they, I can't remember what it's called, but that one we did a hearing down there, Randy and I can't, but anyway, like the county building or something, because City Hall is real small.
So you guys check that out. We can sign it this afternoon if you need to switch. Yeah. Okay. I wanted to, there's three things that have been added. One of them was added by me, but last year we did mid-year reviews with directors. And I just, in doing the reviews, wanted to just add that to the calendar of things. I thought that was good to have those mid-year reviews, and I wanted to see if you guys want to just schedule off some time.
Sure.
In about 6 months to do that again. So maybe that would be about December. Do we want to do that? Okay with that?
Sure.
And I think we did just like a morning. Didn't we do like block off a whole morning? We don't have to actually schedule them, but we can just find a date. I'm looking at like, we've got some telco things that first week, the second week. Is that right? Like the 8th would be telco meeting, annual meeting?
8th is a lignite meeting, but telco is the 1st to the 3rd of December.
Oh.
Are you sure? It's usually Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
30th to the 2nd is what I have. 30th okay. is a Monday.
So what about the 8th?
Late night meeting at lunch, that's all I got.
Will we be...
Or the 9th.
I don't remember how much time we spent on those. Would we
they
be
took
to
longer than we thought because once we, you know, we don't get a chance to sit down with these folks individually that often. So
of course,
each discussion was an hour.
If we wanted to just not, you know, get into a whole nother day, we wouldn't necessarily have to finish them in one block. We could do them for a while and then go to the Lignite Council meeting and come back in the afternoon.
Sure. So do we want to say that 8th start at 9, 10? Or we could, the 9th is open too. It doesn't look like we have a commission meeting on the 9th.
Whatever works for you, I'm good either.
You're good?
I'm good either way.
Okay, let's say the 9th because then we don't, because sometimes that Lignite thing, that goes at 11:30 and it goes to 1:30. So let's do the 9th and block off from like 9 until noon and 1 to 3.
Sure, whatever you want.
Okay, mid-year reviews. And we can get more specific on times for people when we get closer. Okay, MDU, I want to schedule next week. Let's do the PI meeting. Not PI meeting. Special meeting. Are you all, either of you, available on Monday?
Got a hearing Monday.
We do? No, we don't.
I'm a week off. I'm sorry. Sorry.
I don't have a hearing scheduled on Monday, but...
I know there's a potential political conflict. I'm not... It's not a problem for me.
If we could have, I can't be here right away in the morning. If we could have it, what do we usually do those, about 2 hours?
Special meeting? This will be 5 minutes.
Oh, I thought we were talking about the PI meeting.
No, this is special meeting to talk with the Hess.
Oh, can we do that like at right after lunch?
Sure. Brian?
Yeah, that's fine. Morning would be better, but afternoon is fine too. You got it.
I'm going to say...
Well, real late morning?
Yeah.
We could do...
11:30 or something?
Okay.
Like 11, 11:30 would be perfect.
Okay. Let's say 11:30.
This is on the 22nd.
22nd, yes.
Yeah. 11:30 on the 22nd.
Okay, so that's a special meeting. We can't announce that yet until we actually have the agenda item ready to go, but we'll just block off that time if you can, Daryl. Okay, and then the MDUPI meeting.
11:30 we said, right? I'm sorry.
11:30, yes.
Okay.
PI meeting for MDU. Do we want to look at this, like, down the road? I'm not feeling like we need to cram that in the next. We've got four hearings in the next week and a half, so I think we should look at,
like, August 3rd, 4th, or 5th?
Yeah, down the, well, that week I'm gone. But
no wonder they're open.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was like, what is it? Why open?
Keep going around the same dates.
The 10th?
Of July.
August? When do you leave for China?
I leave on the 6th.
Oh, okay. So August is going to be tough for us because we've got overlapping.
Well, I don't have much. Did you have something the first week? Is that the week we just said?
Yeah, that's
you
the week
something?
I'm gone. Okay. What about the last week of July? We've got a 1-0 hearing on the 30th.
I'm down the morning. That 26th to 28th is SPP, but the 29th is open and the 31st is open.
Okay, let's do the 29th.
Perfect.
Does that work for you, Randy?
Yep.
Okay.
We got a mark meeting.
Let's throw out the 29th and the 31st so it gives MDU some options.
Yeah.
I'm pretty flexible both those days.
I'm tied up at the afternoon of the 31st.
Okay, so what about you on the 29th? You open?
Anytime.
Yeah.
So we're open anytime on the 29th. Better hold them, though, guys. Hold these. And then the morning of the 31st. See if those work. If not, propose some back. Okay.
There's not anything on those dates that you're aware of already that...
I can't get into my...
Okay.
Yeah. Sure, I have one question to ask about scheduling if you're done.
Thanks, Karen. Okay.
Madam Chair, since August is a challenge, so what shall we do for August's meeting? Because if you're out the first week and I'm gone the second week, we may just have to... That's fine, but the August 12th meeting, I'm not going to be able to be there. So we'll just
have one on the... Oh, wait. Whoops. August 12th, yeah, I won't be here on the 5th.
You know, maybe we should, okay, so then that means we would have one the 22nd, the 12th. I guess it's just the way it is, I guess.
Yeah, the 12th and the August 12th.
You're not going to be back till the 19th.
Yeah, it's not till the 19th.
We must have one on the 26th. No, we don't.
We don't because there's a formal hearing for...
We're actually skipping two Wednesdays on each side of that one on the 12th.
Yep.
And the 2nd. Yeah.
And a commission.
I mean, unless we went on like the 20th and went on a Thursday. Wait, we've got one on the 12th. No. And then we go until the 2nd. Is that right? Yeah. I mean, we planned it this way because of NARUC. Then we've
just the way it goes. I think just looking, we can sort through it, but just looking ahead, if there's stuff that has to be voted on, the 12th, I just won't. I mean, that's something one of you could do, make the motions to if need be.
Okay.
And if we had to drop a meeting in a special on the 31st of July or something, or.
Right, because we will have met on the 22nd.
Mm-hmm.
And then. We skipped the 5th and went to the 12th. Yep.
I understand meetings in August are a relatively new phenomenon anyway.
Yeah, we usually left the month of August open.
Some people could go on there.
People go on vacations.
Yeah. Okay, we'll just have to...
Just work it.
We'll have
just
to leave it. Yeah, play it as it goes.
That's one of the highlights. Now that I got those dates better, so...
Yeah.
Unless they reject my visa, which could happen. Not the credit card, the visa to China.
Yeah. Okay. Anything else for scheduling or?
Sure, I would like to look at it. I thought we had a director's meeting scheduled, but we do not. So if we could look at scheduling, at least I don't see one on my calendar.
We did pick a date. I know we did in July.
I don't see it on here, but.
Do we have notes from the last meeting? Is that included in the minutes?
It was not in my minutes. That's why I was asking. So I don't know if we...
Oh,
if I missed that, I'm apologizing.
Let's see. Well, I want to say it was in the week of the 20th.
Oh, July? Or?
Yeah.
July.
Well, we have formal hearings on Tuesday and Thursday and an informal and commission meeting on Wednesday, so...
Maybe it was that we were going to do it during the informal.
It's cool by me.
July 22nd, okay.
I haven't seen many informals lately.
No, really haven't. Okay, so let's plan it on that.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else?
One last thing, that pipeline thing that Aaron's been working so hard, that's next 23rd. He sent the email out. You guys are welcome to come by if you want to be there in the morning for open remarks. We would just notice it. We put 15 minutes in there, but we
the
could...
The 23rd?
Yeah, it's at like 8:30. Yeah.
Well, if you're going to be there, I need to know.
Understood, but I just would offer it up.
Of July.
It's next week.
June.
June 23rd. Oh. So it's
next Tuesday.
We got 15 minutes in the morning to say thanks for coming, and if you want to go, we'll notice it. If not, I just want to make sure I offered it up because it's appropriate for all three of us to make it if we can. If not, no big deal.
Yeah, I expect I'll come over.
Okay. Can you notice that one then, Esther? I'll give you the thing. It's the Napser North American Pipeline something or other.
Do you know the time?
Yep. It's 8 o'clock, 8:15.
Okay.
I'll forward it to you too, Randy.
Anything else? Okay. Josh.
Or Jerry Lee.
Speak now or forever hold your peace.
Okay, the auditors asked me if you'd like to do an entrance interview. Is that something all three of you'd like to sit in on, or is that something that you're interested in even having to sit down? I mean, it's kind of they introduce themselves, kind of give you a brief scope of what they're doing.
I can do it, or if you guys want to be in on it. We can all do it together. How soon, Josh?
Probably as soon as your calendars allow.
Did we all do that last time? I don't recall.
Yeah, I do remember doing
it. It's a good chance. If we can make it work, it's always good for all three of us to get kind of like the in-doc and have them hear from us, too.
Monday? We scheduled something for Monday, didn't we?
Yeah,
11:30.
Again, I'd have... Now I'm pressing it, though, for the morning, but I would have some time in the afternoon.
Well, let's schedule it in the afternoon. And if I can make it work, I'll be there. If I can't, then at least you got a majority.
June 22nd at...
June 22nd at 1? That work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
By me, yeah.
Okay.
Or would you rather have it earlier, Brian, to...
No,
that's... ...thing come in over lunch or something?
No, that's fine.
Okay, this meeting is adjourned.
I had one more thing.